does it good justice here, but means to fully surrender your life, your plans, and your worries to God, trusting Him to take control with the promise that if you commit your way, that means for us to roll our burdens onto Him and trust Him, then He will act on our behalf and bring His purpose to pass in our life. And so we live in a world today where you can hear many people, and unfortunately from time to time even Christians, say, well, I just don't even know what my purpose is. Well, then I can tell you, you're not reading your Bible, because the Lord clearly tells us time and time again what our purpose is, what His purpose is for us in our life. I'm just letting you know, I've already went through three of these things this morning. Taking cough medicine and stuff just dries my throat right out. So we're going to load up with, there we go. So we've looked the previous 3 weeks. We started with, we all need help, right? And I didn't ask you to raise your hands, but we all need help. Number two, second week, was not to play God. Not to play God. And we can justify right away, oh, I wouldn't do that. But then we look at all the things in our life we try to control. Remember, as we said, the job application for being the runner of the universe is already filled. God's got that. We don't have to worry about that. And then last week we looked at, once we get to those places, then there's things that we need to admit. Admit that I can't do it on my own. That I do need help. And that's why the Lord gives us the church, His Word. He gives us our prayer time that we can talk to Him. And as we said, His Word with Bible reading that He can talk to us. And so for our final message here this morning, we've entitled it, Let Go and Let God. So consciously, we need to choose to commit all of our life and our will to Christ's care and control. And so the verse that we want to look at this morning on that, to go with our Psalm 37 introduction, is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. So many times we read the first verse there of 28, but then fail to move into 29, and 30. So we're gonna look at them all. It says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is where we begin to learn to let go and let God lead. I don't know if we realize it or not, because we know Matthew 11, 28 so much. But this is an invitation. Come. Come to me, Jesus is saying. Come to me. It's an invitation. What He's saying is, He will make your life easier. Who here couldn't stand to have just a little bit easier life, right? But if we continue to stay where we're at, we're going to continue to get the results we've always gotten. And so, He says, come to me and make your life easier. He will lighten your load. He will give relief. And because of that, you will have rest and rejuvenation. Jesus says, give me control and care of your life and watch what I can do. What a deal. Right? He'll take our messed up, right? God wannabe individuals that have all sorts of problems, all sorts of struggles, all sorts of things that get us down, all sorts of things that work against us. And I'm just talking about Christians, let alone those that live in the lost world. Why would anybody turn a deal like that down? But yet there are those maybe sitting here this morning, or those that are online watching with us that have heard this same message before from this guy or from other people, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders. You've read it yourself in the Bible, and yet you still choose to do things your own way. You've never acted upon it. You know, we're just coming out of the holiday season a month ago, and it'd be like having a present that somebody brought you, and you put it on the table, and you still haven't opened it. That's what the gift the Lord's trying to give to us. God says, I want to give you a gift of relief and release and help, and we've done nothing about it. So what keeps us from taking this important step? What causes me to procrastinate in giving my problems over to God? Because as we've said before, if you can handle it, it sure looks like you're doing a terrible job of it. We need to let Him get involved. What causes me to delay my surrendering? The surrendering of my life to the care and the control of Christ. Come across this little illustration. I thought it was classic for what we as Christians try to do. So there's this guy that has a pet store and a delivery truck. And so he sends the guy out on the delivery. And the gentleman pulls up behind him and notices that when he come to a stoplight, he'd jump out of the truck, he'd put it in park, jump out of the truck, run to the back of the truck, grab a 2x4 and just start beating the side of that truck. Then he'd run back in, get in the truck and drive to the next stoplight. To which he would do the same thing. Stop, get out, run to the back of the truck, grab a 2x4, beat the side of that truck as much as he could. And finally, the guy in the car that was following him asked, what in the world are you doing? To which the driver said, and see, this is, the driver says, you got to understand, this is only a 2-ton truck. And I'm carrying 4 tons of canaries. So I've got to do something to keep 2 tons of canaries in the air all the time. And I couldn't help but think, isn't that the way that we are? That instead of going about it properly, instead of asking for help, or instead of taking the help that's offered, we've got it figured out, and we'll do it in our own life, and we just keep things afloat in the air. And I'm pretty sure we've used that phrase before. But isn't that a picture of life? Many of us go out there beating ourselves up, trying to keep it all in the air. We try to keep it all from crashing down. We think it all depends on us. Remember, don't play God. But we have the tendency to get stuck in life. We get stuck in relationships. We get stuck in habits. We get stuck in grief. And we lose, we get stuck in grief when we lose a loved one. We get stuck in anger. We get stuck in our work. And then we can't get out of it. And it starts a cycle. So how do you break out of the stuckness? I know, it's probably not a word. But how do you break free of those things? What keeps us from letting go? What keeps us from letting go? I suggest five things for us to look at today on what keeps us from letting go. That's the let go and let God. I know we don't like to admit it, but we all are moved deeper by pride than we really want to admit. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, or it is arrogant. But humility goes before honor. Guys, how many of us don't stop and ask for directions? Right? I've traveled enough with Hal here lately that we even know the GPS is wrong. Right? To some place we've never drove before. Right? Well, that's not right. And then I have to go back down and circle around and come all the way back, next exit. Our pride motivates us that way. Maybe we're not ready to make this step yet because of pride. Maybe we're not ready to let go because pride holds on us greater than we like to admit. Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And we say, maybe we're not ready yet. I'll give you control and care of my life, Christ, when I'm ready. And I'm just not ready yet to do that. I have had few conversations with individuals that have been teaching through the years that have given me that as an answer. I don't like it as an answer, but I respect them for telling me the truth. I'm not ready to submit to God yet. Well, I'd rather do that than somebody fake it. You know, do this and be not all in, not willing to repent. So even though it's hard, at least I appreciate their honesty. And as we've learned through the weeks, there is one thing, there's many things, but there's at least one thing that helps push us to that point that we're willing to come to Christ. And we don't like it because what it is usually be ready for a greater dose of pain. Somehow. You know how I know? Because if you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have real peace in your life. If you don't have Christ in your life, you don't have real joy in your life. I can tell you all the things you don't have if you don't have Christ in your life. And what we'll do is we'll go through our life until the pain is so bad that we realize we can't do it on our own. We have to admit we can't do it on our own. We must quit playing God and realize that everybody needs help. And you know what usually happens in that situation? When we need a greater dose of pain, God usually allows that to happen. He allows it to happen to get our attention. So maybe it's pride. Maybe it's guilt. Maybe we're ashamed to ask God for help. Remember, that we might be doing things that He doesn't know about. Remember, we've discussed that. And so we want to hide it from him. So we don't want to ask him for help because we might have to admit something. He knows. Psalm 40 verse 13 says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me." The psalmist here is asking for help quickly now. I need help. This is where you got to put your guilt behind you and just get honest with God and say, "I need your help now." Have we ever felt that way? Maybe we're ashamed. We don't want to ask God for help. It's embarrassing to ask God for help. You don't know all the things that I've done wrong, right? God doesn't know. I couldn't go to God and ask Him for help. You know, I've not been living right. Yeah, that's why you're in the situation you're in. So you're wrong. You can go to God for help. There's no sin that God can't forgive. Don't let pride or guilt keep you from taking this step. Why is that? Because God wants to forgive your guilt. The very thing that's holding you down, God wants to release. How about number three, fear? I've heard people say this too in talking to them about being a Christian. I'm afraid of what I might have to give up. Right? We've all heard the story about the guy that falls off the cliff. He's halfway down and he grabs a branch. He's hanging onto that branch for dear life. 500 feet down, 500 feet up. He cries out, "Somebody help me! Somebody help me!" And he hears the voice of God. Says, "This is the Lord. Trust me. Let go and I'll catch you." He looks back down the 500 feet. He looks back up to the 500 feet and he says this, "Is there anybody else up there?" Why is that? Because we don't want to go to God for help. When you know all He wants to do is forgive us. No matter what bad thing, unmentionable thing that we have done, when we sincerely repent, He just wants to forgive us. But yet, we fear God. We should fear man when it comes to this, because man doesn't always want to forgive us. We may look around, society may not want to forgive us, but God wants to forgive us. We're afraid to let go. Some are hanging on for dear life by the branch and saying, "You know, this isn't all that bad, really. No problem. Really, I'm fine. I can handle this." Real freedom is choosing who your master will be. So what are you afraid of? See, real freedom comes when we choose Jesus Christ. We are living in captivity if we continue to say yes to Satan. What are you holding on to? "I can't get this in order." Or, "I need to get this in order before I give my life to God." Maybe it's a relationship that we've got to get out of or make right. Maybe we have some sort of, you know, ambition, a habit, a lifestyle, a possession. Mark 8:36 says this, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Don't let be motivated by fear other than a healthy respect of fear for God and what judgment is going to be cast on us if we don't come around to Him. Number four is worry. Which one of us as Christians don't do this anymore? Not me. Right? Worry can keep us from surrendering our life to the care and the control of Christ. We confuse the decision-making phase with the problem-solving phase. Remember, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. I like this illustration. In 1963, when JFK announced we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, that was the decision. He made a decision. Had all the problems been solved yet? No. But if you're a good manager, you know, never confuse decisions with problem solving. If you confuse them, you never make the decision. You have to make the decision, then solve the problems. Kennedy said, we're going to put a man on the moon, then it's NASA's problem to figure out the solutions. God says, don't worry. I will provide the solution. Unless we're going back to 2 weeks ago sermon and we're trying to play God. Don't worry about it. God's got this. The fifth thing there that may hold us back is doubt. I want to believe, but my faith just seems so small. Remember in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8, a story about a man named Jairus. Jairus comes to Jesus saying, I know you can heal people. My daughter needs to be healed. Jesus said, if you have faith, then she will be healed. Jairus was honest. He said, Lord, I have a lot of doubts. I want to believe. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus said, that's good enough. See, again, it's not how much faith we have, as we've been talking on Sunday nights in Hebrews 11. It's not how much faith we have. It's who we have our faith in that matters the most. We think, don't you have to have big faith to become a Christian? Look at what the Bible says. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. And there's a lot of humor in that, because have you ever seen a mustard seed? Right? You can see a watermelon seed pretty easy. Right? We can see a muskmelon seed or a pumpkin seed. Try taking a good look without putting your bifocals on to see a mustard seed. So what he's telling us is if the faith is small, he gets it. Faith is not the issue. A little faith in a big God gets big results. Don't let anything cause you to doubt. So we looked at the let go, five things to let go of. So now let's let God. Move in faith and let God. These are things that we need to put into our thinking. Four things here that will help us to let God be in control. Number one, I will let God's Son be my Savior. I know that sounds kind of, He wants to be your Savior. The Father gave up His Son so that He could be your Savior. But you still have to make that decision to be saved and accept Him as your Savior. You may say, I need to be saved. I need help. I realize I need help in my life. Well, what does that mean? It means, as our Psalm 37 verse says, to committing as much of myself as I understand at this moment to as much of Christ as I understand at this moment. Because here's the problem we run into. 20 years from now, if you're a good Christian, you're going to know a lot more than you know right now. And you're going to say, and you're going to talk to yourself, and Satan's going to get, you know, I might be lost. I might need to be baptized because I know so much more now. Do you know that you're lost? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that you can only be saved by Jesus Christ and being obedient to Him in the watery graves of baptism? Arise to walk in the newness of life? being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for that forgiveness of our sins and to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit? That's the gospel message. That's the good news. If you don't know that, then let's talk. But we need to decide to make Jesus Christ our Savior. And I like how many people say it, myself including, is if we want Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we need to first make Him our Lord. Number two, I let God's Word be my standard for living. We were discussing the other day in one of our Bible classes, I think it was the high school Bible class, some of the, like the Catholic catechism, shorter catechism, that they still have the Ten Commandments in there, but do you realize they don't have number two that you have in your Bible? Thou shalt have no graven images, because if you do that, you do away with the Roman Catholic Church. So what they do is they slide all the way down to number 10 and they split it up. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's things. So that way they still have 10, but they've changed it. So this is why I suggest follow God's Word. Follow the Bible, not some man-made school book that says it has all the answers. Because once man gets involved, we don't know what could happen. And that's why, as George said in Sunday school class, we got to be careful. We need to understand that when we become a Christian, we've got a manual for living our life. And that's the Bible. God says this is our standard. This is how we evaluate life around us. 2 Timothy 2:15, all Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Let God's Word be our standard. Number three, I accept God's will as my strategy, as my goal in life. In other words, I'm going to let Him take care of the plans for my life. We don't even get to say yes or no. We're just supposed to report for duty. We need to accept that God's will as my strategy, as my goal. So when we say, or when we're met with a great decision in our life, this would be a great way to answer it. So you've been met with a great decision, could impact your family, could impact your church life. And so here's what you need to do. Instead of just saying, and you know, because the other side of the fence is always greener, or the grass on the other side is always greener, that's usually because it's over the septic tank. So when we think of that, instead of saying yes right away, how about saying yes, well, I'll pray on it. I want to talk to the Lord about what this is going to do. I want to know what His will is for my life. God, what do you want for me to do? That would be a good question for us to ask every morning when we get up. God, is it your will that I stay back in bed here for 5 more minutes? If so, say nothing. You can't manipulate God like that. But we know that by waking up, the Lord has given us at least a partial day of this life to live. A purpose for my life. So what do you want me to do with it? David responds this way, Psalm 40 verse 8. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. Do we live to do God's will? Do we, you know, ask the question and we say, you know, I think I know what the answer is, but just a second. Let me read my Bible for a little bit. And you'll be surprised how many times just your daily Bible reading will coincidentally line up with a struggle that you've got going on in your life. Or is it that we finally got to the point where God has already been waiting? Yeah. And the thing is, and we live in this world, and I kind of get it, you know, everybody, I don't understand. Explain it to me. Well, you know what? He's God, and He don't have to explain it to us. I don't even understand it, but I'm going to live my life on your terms because you made me for a reason. You have a purpose, and I want to fulfill that purpose that you made me for. Don't always look at the other person and point your finger at them. What has God made you to do that you're not doing? And then God's will become your strategy for your life, whether you understand it or not. And then fourthly, let go and let God take care of it. I will let God's power be my strength. For when we are weak, He is strong. Philippians 4:13. I know this is a verse, but the New Living Translation, and I'm not a big fan of the New Living Translation. However, in this verse, I am. Because we know that Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we walk into a gym. We're getting ready to play basketball. We see on the wall for the visiting team, or for the home team, because we're the visiting team. We see on the wall, they've got this verse wrote on the side of the wall. We immediately know that we're going to lose this game because God's on their side. When we see that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But let's look at the New Living Translation just a little bit. It says it just, I can do everything God asks me with the help of Christ who gives me strength and power. I just like the way that says it just a little bit better. I can do anything that God asks me to do. Because see, there's too many times in our life that we want to go about and do what we want to do, and then we want God to bless it. And then so when it comes to fruition, and it happens, we can sit back and say, well, God must have wanted for it to happen in my life because He made all things happen. No, that's not what it's saying. Whatever God asks us to do, with the help of Christ, who gives me strength, I can do it. What this is saying is no longer do I have to rely on my own energy. Things work better when they're plugged in. Have you ever found that out? Right? Why in the world is this vacuum cleaner not working? Hose pipe plug, whatever. Oh, well, it's not plugged in. Right? Why in the world is my phone charger not working? Stupid phone. I need a new phone. Oh, that's where we usually say operator error, right? You didn't plug it into the wall. Things always work better when they're plugged in. We work better. Our lives go smoother when we're plugged into God's will. When we get plugged into God, we don't have to be tired all the time. Why is it? Because He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. God says, I will give you my power to be all that I want for you to be. Isn't it exciting to know that the Lord has invited us to come in and take it easy. Let me give you a rest. Let me take all those things that you're worrying about, that you're putting in that bag and you're throwing over your shoulder and you're making it so you're wore out by noon because you're handling all these things that you don't have to. Admit that we can't do it alone. Remember, don't play God. be reminded that we all need help. And by all means, please let go and let God. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, maybe that is the beginning point of letting go and letting God. That you realize you can't do it on your own. You can't be saved. Nothing that we've done but what Jesus has done for us can save us. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That He is the Son of the living God? Are you willing to repent of your sin? Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Are you willing to be immersed? To be laid down, as George shared in his Sunday school class? To the world, things like this are foolishness. But to those that are following God, it makes perfect sense. Come to Him. Let Him carry your burdens. And then do our best to live that faithful life, that life full of faith, just for Him. They're going to lead us in our